Northampton Colel Shear, given by Gershon Heppner on Tehillim, 4th of November 2012, Yud Tes Mar Cheshvan Tovshin Ein Gimel, and today's the art site for Cyril Posner, Sechel Levracha, Hatzalak to the Shele Ilu Nishmas, Rabbi Alexander Moshe Ben Rabbi Chaim Dov. We all remember Cyril and his Rabbi Alexander Moshe Ben Rabbi Chaim Dov.
I remember the name.
Yeah, I remember a figure from my own childhood and how much I loved his davening. Two particular nigunim I remember, well, many nigunim actually from his davening. Remember that? Yes, when he was Valtula. And he also used to sing for Shabbos Shacharis. I loved his davening, and he did so much for the shul. And when he was really much, much older, and when he was in a wheelchair, and our children were growing up, he used to give them quiz questions, and he was very sweet with children. You know, he used to go into Hasmonean primary school. When he was retired, went into Tasmanian Primary School as a volunteer to help reading, help them with reading, and he used to do a bit of Kriyas HaTorah with them as well.
You used to teach in Cheder, Sunday
morning. Yeah,
I remember that, yeah. I call him Son Cheder.
Yeah. Okay, right. So we're up to Tehillim, and we're up to chapter Yudches, Pasuk Kaftes, which of course we started last week. So I'll just run through the pasuk again. Ki atato yeniri, because you give light to my candle. Hashem elokai yagia choshki, Hashem my God, you brighten my darkness. And we started looking at that last week. We saw Rashi's pshat last week. It's a reference to the milchama that David HaMelech fought against Amalek. And the battle went on for two nights, and Hashem gave him light during the night. So Hashem lights my candle and brightens my darkness. Okay, what we're going to do now is we've just got a few mepharshim to finish off the pasuk, and that'll really be the shiur for today. And then Mitzvah Hashem next week we'll go on to the next pasuk. Yalkut Me'amnoi is on this pasuk. Ki atah to'ineri, says the Yalkut Me'amnoi, what's this idea of Hashem lights, gives light to my candle? He says that David HaMelech, on his shield, he had an emblem of the menorah. So Toiniri Hashem, you light up my candle, you light my light, and that's the he had a picture of a menorah on his shield. The Yalkut Me'amnoi also points out that Kiatar Toiniri is a reference to Hashem giving light to my candle. That's my nefesh. It's a spiritual boost. Hashem gives me a spiritual boost, and it gets that from the pasuk in Mishlei, where the word ner is related to neshama. Ner Hashem nishmas Adam. The candle of Hashem is the neshama of man, and that's the pasuk in Mishlei. It's chapter kaf pasuk kaf zayin. While the second half of the pasuk, Hashem elokai yagia choshki, you brighten my darkness, that's a reference to the guf. That Hashem, you give me physical strength. You give me physical light. So spiritual light, physical light. Why would that be a reference to the physical? Hashem elokai yagia choshki, because the guf is choshech. The guf belongs to Olam Hazeh, and it's not really the real existence. Real existence is Olam Habo. So Kiatato Neri is a reference to spiritual boost, and Hashem elokai yagia choshki is a reference to a physical boost. He then points out that
physical boost.
You help me physically.
Generally.
Yeah, help me physically, whether it's parnoso or whether it's winning wars or whatever it is. Yeah. You've helped me in a physical sense, but you've also helped me in a spiritual sense in terms of attainments in Torah study. Spiritual attainments, Torah and mitzvahs. The Yalkut Me'amnoi goes on to say that Toiniri is a reference to Hashem has revealed to me the secrets of the Torah. So again, that's therefore a spiritual help. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me spiritual help. And he also points out that I saw this quoted as well in the name of the Shilte Giborim at the beginning of Perek Bamim Adlikin in Shabbos, but I looked it up in the Shilte Giborim and I couldn't find it. So, but I saw it certainly in the Yalkut Me'amnoi, that when a person learns Torah Lishma, Hashem gives them a help in their learning that they're not going to make mistakes. You get special siyata l'shma. If you learn Torah l'shem shemaim l'shma, then you get help in your learning that you're not going to make mistakes. And the Yalkut Me'amnoi relates this to the idea Hashem elokai yagia choshki. Now the word yagia is closely related to the word v'hagisa. V'hagisa bo yom v'olola.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's the pasuk in Yeshua. Let's find it. It's in Yeshua. It's chapter Aleph, pasuk Ches, where the pasuk says, "Lo yomash seif ha'Torah zemipicha." This Torah should not leave. The book of the Torah should not leave your mouth. V'hagisa bo yom v'olola. V'hagisa bo yom v'olola, and you should think about it day and night. So our word Yagia is spelled almost, it comes from a very similar root to the root of the word Vahagisa. Vahagisa, we think about Torah learning. Well, the root of Yagia is Nun Gimel Hei, and the root of Vahagisa, to think about things, to think about Torah, is Hei Gimel Hei. So they both got very close related roots. Nun Gimel Hei, Hei Gimel Hei. So he says, our word Yagia Choshki, you'll brighten my darkness, you'll give me help, spirit, you'll give me help when I'm coming to learn Torah. But why? Yagia, at a time when I am Huger in Torah, when I'm thinking about Torah, then you'll give me a special help. Yagia Choshki, you'll brighten my darkness. Personal learns Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a special Siyata Dishmaya. 2 weeks ago, when Rabbi Lai was here for a Sunday morning share, bagel breakfast share, just before the share, I can't remember what context, he told me a story that Rabbi Knoflovich, the Chanad Vrocha, who was the Rav, of course, at Hendon Adas, after he retired, of course, yeah, that's it, yeah. After he retired, someone from Hendon Adas asked him a Shaila, and he said, it's not for me to answer the Shaila, you have a Rav here, Rabbi Roberts, don't ask me, ask Rabbi Roberts. So apparently this person said, well, I could ask Rabbi Roberts, but maybe it's not so convenient, so I'm asking Rabbi Knoflovich instead. So Rabbi Knoflovich replied, it's a very easy Shaila, and I know the answer, and I could give you the answer, but I won't. Not only because Rabbi Roberts is now the Rav of the Shul, it's not for me to paskin, it's for Rabbi Roberts to paskin, but also, he said, a Rav is given Siyata Dishmaya in answering Shailas. And I'm no longer the Rav, therefore I no longer have that Siyata Dishmaya. Interesting. So therefore, I'm not prepared to paskin. You have to ask Rabbi Roberts. Interesting question. Very, yeah. Interesting, yeah? So there you are. The Alkham Amno says, when a person learns Torah Lishma, he's given Siyata Lishma to help him in his learning. And one other pshat from the Alkham Amno, he quotes a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Aleph Pasuk Yud Zayin, where it speaks about David defeating lots and lots of enemies. Vayazar lo Avishai ben Tzruya. Avishai, the son of Tzruya, who actually was David's nephew, was a big help to David. Vayaches haplishti vaymisehu. This man, Avishai ben Tzruya, was a big help to David and killed a particular plishti. And then it says that the people in Klal Yisrael began to feel that it was time for David to hang up his rifle and his body armor, because they felt he was a bit too old to go out to fight. So they sent him, and Oz Nishbu'u Anshe David Lo. Then David's men swore to him, Lamer, saying, Lo Seitse Oditanu Lamachoma, you should not come out with us anymore to war. Velo Sechaber, and thereby you will not extinguish Esnei Yisrael, the light of Yisrael. In other words, if you come out to war with us, and if you continue to come out to war with us, you'll become a cropper, you'll become a victim of the war. You're a bit too old for this. And they begged him not to come out, and they swore to him that he shouldn't come out anymore, and indeed David did indeed hang up his army boots, and he no longer went out to fight at that stage. But Velosa Chabes Ne Yisrael, don't extinguish. If you come out to war, you're risking extinguishing the light of Yisrael. Who's the light of Yisrael? You, David. So David is referred to as this Ne Yisrael. Therefore, in our posuk, where the posuk says, Ki ata ta'in neiri, you give light to my candles, says the Alkham Amnes, that's a reference to himself, to David himself, who is described in this other posuk as Ne Yisrael. We saw last week the Medrash, in the Medrash Shel Chetov, that Ki ata ta'in neiri was a reference to Mordechai, and Hashem Anakai Agea Choshke is a reference to Esther. And then we saw also a reference that it was a reference to Yoash. Ki ata ta'in neiri, you give light to my candle. Yoash, who was the sole survivor, pretty much the sole survivor of Malchus Beis David, a few generations down the line after David. You remember his grandmother, Asalia, was determined to become the queen, and therefore she wiped out as many heirs to the Davidic throne as she could. Daughter of Yisevel and Achav, absolutely right. Yeah, Asalia, bad news. She was bad news for the Jews. And And Yoash was saved, right? So Yoash was the sole survivor, and Malchus Beisavid was able to continue through him. Remember, he was saved by his aunt Yehosheva and his uncle Yehoyada, right? Who is the Kohen Gadol. Now, a very similar medrash is brought in the Alkut Me'amnoes, similar in that it's a reference to someone who was a sole survivor, or pretty much a sole survivor of Malchus Beisavid. And it goes to a much later period of history. It refers to a person called Bustanai. You heard of this? Have you heard of Bustanai?
Never.
Right. Bustanai, I got it here off, this is off a web, Chabad website, who lived in the years 618 to 670. Mm. So that's 618 to 670. Yeah. Must be. Yes, of course, yeah. And now, I first came across Bustanai because the story of Bustanai was put on as a theatrical performance by the girls in Gateshead Seminary when our daughter Rachel was in the Sem. And she played the part of the wicked king in this story of Bustanai. Well, the story is that it goes to... It's a story that took place in Bovel, and... Where the descendants of David were generally treated quite well, and they always had the Reish Gulusa, the one who was the head of the Golus, who was usually a Talmud Chacham, and who was also a political spokesperson for Klal Yisrael. Well, at that time, there came about a new king, Ba'yokom Melech Hadosh, there in Bavel, and he took a dislike to Malchus Beis David, and he set about killing and imprisoning many, many members of the Malchus Beis David, those descendants of David HaMelech. Okay? And he succeeded pretty much in wiping nearly all of them out. There was one lady who was a descendant, who was married to a descendant of Malchus Beis David, who was pregnant. And she managed to escape this wicked king who was really decimating all the survivors of Malchus Beis David. And then this king had a dream. And the dream was he was in a meadow and he was cutting down trees in the meadow with his axe. He was chopping down trees left, right, and center. And he spotted one and he sort of basically succeeded in cutting down all the trees in the meadow until he saw in the orchard, maybe you should call it in the orchard, until he saw one young sapling tree. And he walks up to the sapling tree and he takes his axe and he's about to chop it down, all in his dream. When suddenly, in his dream, an elderly man appears, grabs his arm, grabs the axe out of his hand and says, "You're chopping down too many trees, you chop down any more trees and I'll chop you." And the dream, of course, disturbed him. And he asked his counselors who could interpret the dream. And the counselor said, the people who will interpret the dream are the Chachmei Yisrael. You've got to go to the Chachamim, but you've banged them all up in prison. You know, you're murdering them, and they're all in, and the survivors are in prison. Go and ask them. And one of the Chachamim, so he brought out one of the Chachamim from prison, who interpreted the dream. It sounds like Yosef in Mitzrayim, yeah? And he interpreted the dream. And of course, the interpretation was, you're killing off Malchus Beis David, and you're about to chop down the sapling, and that sapling is this pregnant woman who's carrying the continuity of Malchus Beis David in her womb. And she's managed to escape so far, but you're still out to get her. Just leave off Klal Yisrael, otherwise it'll cost you your life. The man in the dream, the elderly man in the dream who threatened the king with the axe, was a representation of David HaMelech himself. Yeah? You're chopping down all the members of his family, he'll chop you. So it made the king do teshuvah. And this king regretted what he'd done, and he tracked down this woman who was pregnant, and he looked after her, and indeed she gave birth, and the baby was this man called Bustanai, who then became the next Reish Galusa, and the king looked after Bustanai as well, and indeed the Malchus Beis David is said to continue through that line of this man Bustanai. So the Alkut Me'amnoes says this idea of Kiatoto Ineri. You brighten my darkness. I'm in darkness because Malchus Beis David is almost wiped out. Yagia, you brighten that darkness. How? Through ensuring the survival of Bustanai. Okay, Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes says that Kiatoto Ineri, you give light to my candle, is a reference to the mitzvahs Asei. And there are 248 mitzvahs Asei. While Yagia Choshki, you brighten my darkness. Well, darkness is evil, and therefore that's related to the mitzvahs Lo Sasei. And and there are 365 mitzvahs lo taseh. Says the Sfarsemes, Yagia Choshki has the gematria of 366. Okay? There are 365 mitzvahs lo taseh. Says the Sfarsemes, let's add to the 365 mitzvahs lo taseh, we'll add the mitzvah of fearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yirah Shamayim, because Yirah Shamayim is what drives all the mitzvahs, our keeping the mitzvahs lo taseh. Avas Hashem, loving Hashem is what drives us to keep the mitzvahs aseh, and Yiras Hashem drives us to keep the mitzvahs lo taseh, fear of Hashem. So he says, with the 365 mitzvahs lo taseh, we'll add to that the mitzvahs aseh of fearing Hashem, which is the power, the force that helps us keep all the mitzvahs lo taseh. That gives you a total of 366, which is the exact gematria of Yagia Choshki.
So we have the Fear Hashem for
365. Yeah. Fearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what is the Yirah Shamayim is what is the catalyst that helps us keep the 365 mitzvahs lo taseh. While Avas Hashem is the catalyst that helps us keep the 248 mitzvahs taseh. Yeah. Okay. The Sefer Zera Yaakov, which is written by Reb Yaakov Cohen, who is some ancestor of Eli Pick's wife. He brings a Gemara in Bava Basra. So the Gemara in Bava Basra, it starts on Gimel Amud Beis and goes on to Dalet Amud Aleph, speaks about the rather horrendous story of King Herod. King Herod, during he set about wiping out as many of the Chachmei Yisrael as he could, and because he suspected that they would object to his sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael, and there was one Talmud Chacham whom he allowed to survive, and that was Bava ben Buta. Now Bava ben Buta, he spared him, but he actually blinded him. He blinded him, and on one occasion, because he didn't want him to start any revolutions, and on one occasion, King Herod, Herodus, laid a trap for Bava ben Buta. I think he had him in prison as well, actually. He was in prison, and he was, but he, at least he didn't kill him, and he blinded him. He set a trap for Bava ben Buta, and he disguised himself, and he probably disguised his voice as well, and he portrayed himself to Bava ben Buta as an ordinary layman. And he went up to Bava ben Buta and he said, you know, this king we've got here is a terrible man, and what can we do about him? And Bava ben Buta said, well, you know, let's do nothing. You know, he's our king, do nothing. He said, well, you know, don't you think you should curse him? You know, you're a Talmud Chacham, you got the kach to curse him. Don't think you should curse him? And Bava Buta said, no, wouldn't dare curse him. And he brought him a posuk to prove it. I'm not going to curse him. And he said, well, no one will ever find out about it. You know, one of the things Bava Buta said, I wouldn't dream of cursing him. It's a bad thing to do. You should, it's quoted a posuk in Kerles, don't curse a king. And he said, well, don't worry, you'll be safe. You know, this is all part of Herodotus' trap. No one will find out about it. He said, no, I'm still not prepared to curse him. He'll find out eventually. He quoted another posuk. And he said, in any case, I'm scared of him. No. Anyway, Bava ben Buta was really tested to his limits until Herodus could see that indeed this man is genuine. And at that point, Bava ben Buta had charota. He said, I've suddenly realized that you, Chachmei Yisrael, you're not planning a revolution against me. And he had charota that having killed out so many of so many Chachmei Yisrael, so many Talmid Chachamim. Sorry? Herod. Herodus. He's called the Gemara Herodus. So he regretted it. So he turned to Bava ben Buta and he said to him, give me some advice.
Well, he revealed his identity then.
Yes, I guess so, yes. Yes, sorry, he did, definitely he did. Let me find it. He said to him, yeah, it's on Bava Basra Daftalad Amad Aleph, and it's on the first wide line. Omalei, Herodus said to Bava ben Buta, Ano who? I am that man. I am King Herodus after all, and I congratulate you for not falling into my trap. Ihavoyadana, does he hear Rabbanon Kulahai? If only I would have known how careful the Talmid Chachamim are, lo have a ketilna lehu, I wouldn't have killed them. Hashtar, now he said, what should I do? What can I do to be masakin myself? He's referring to himself in the third person, Ahu Gavra. What's the cure for that man, i.e. myself, Herodus? How can I do teshuva? Omalei, so Bava ben Butta replied to her, thus, Hu kibor oroshel olam? He, i.e. you, heard us, you've extinguished the light of the world. You've extinguished the light of the world by not allowing the Beis HaMikdash to be repaired. The Beis HaMikdash was in existence, but it was falling into disrepair, and you, second Beis HaMikdash, and it needs to be rebuilt. Until now, you haven't allowed it to be rebuilt or to be repaired. So, go and busy yourself with the Beis HaMikdash, and help us out and allow us to repair and rebuild and to renovate the Beis HaMikdash. And I believe he did. The point being, says the Sefer Zerah Yaakov, what do we see from this? We see that the Beis HaMikdash is referred to as Ur. He said, go and busy yourself with the Orosh HaLolam. What's the Orosh HaLolam? The Beis HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. So the Beis HaMikdash is referred to as light. Says the Zerah Yaakov, he says, now we know this reference, that the word can refer to the Beis HaMikdash. You give light to my Beis HaMikdash. What does that mean? So he quotes another Medrash, which I couldn't track down. He quotes a Medrash that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, he immediately built a replica Beis HaMikdash with the same dimensions in Shamayim. And that Beis HaMikdash is there in Shamayim, ready to return to us as and when the right time arrives. So he says, Katoto ineri, reference to the Beis HaMikdash. You give light to my candle, i.e. you've already prepared the next Beis HaMikdash for us, and it's ready and waiting for us as and when we have the right Madrigal. So that's that's how the Zerah Yaakov explains it. Toya neri, light, i.e. the Beis HaMikdash, i.e. you've got the third one ready and prepared. And had so immediately upon Churban of Beis HaMikdash Sheni. Immediately, second Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, you instantly prepared the third one.
We believe it will come down intact from heaven.
Yes. We? Yeah, there is a machlokus about it coming down, how it comes down. Yeah. Comes down in Eish. Yeah, we say it on Tisha B'Av Mincha, that you'll bring down in Nachim, in Shema Kaleinu at Mincha, you'll bring down the third Beis HaMikdash. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Das Mikra, Sefer Das Mikra, points out that the beginning, and I mentioned this briefly last week, that the first half of the pasuk is in the second person, Ki ato to ineri, you give light to my candle, while the second half of the pasuk is in the third person, Hashem Elokai, God, my Lord, He, Yagia Choshki, He brightens up my darkness. So you've got to, why the pasuk changes from second person to third person. Why? So the Sefer Das Mikra points out that it's to teach us that whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealed, Golui, or Baseiseh, or hidden, he's always there, and he's always there to help us. So, Bagolui, when he's revealed, that's a reference of Ki Ato, Toineris, in the second person, you're speaking to him directly. Ato, you're speaking to a person, you can see them, he's right there in front of you. And the third person, Hashem Elokai, Ge'a Choshki, that's when he's Baseiseh, when he's hidden. It doesn't matter whether Hashem is revealed or hidden, he's always there, he's always helping. Yeah? Good. Then he points out something, this Das Mikra points out something which I got very excited about. And that is the word Yagia is spelt with a mapike at the end. Right? You've got the dot in the hay with the mapike. Yeah, so that word Yagia really should be pronounced with a short, sharp finish. Yagia, like that. That's the effect of the mapike. Now, it's a very odd mapike. Accent on the gimbal. Yagia. But still with a gimbal. Not Yagia with a gentle finish, but Yagia with a short, sharp ending. Accent on the gimbal, but with a short, sharp finish to the hay. Yagia. Okay.
Both of them, in other words. The gimbal and the hay.
Well, the accent goes on. In some form. The accent goes on the gimbal, and the hay is sharpened and shortened with a short, sharp ending. Sudden finish. Yagia. Yeah. Short, sharp finish, right? Now, that's a very strange mapike, because a mapike normally represents a feminine singular. Okay, for example, Vayomer lo, he said to her, right? So feminine singular, that kind of thing, the word lo with a mapike. Or you can have a word like Isha, her husband. Aleph Yud Shin, mapike. Isha, her ish, her husband. Yeah? So it's a mapike. So it's a reference there to one lady's husband. So the mapike generally represents something which is feminine singular. Okay, here you have a very strange mapike. There's nothing feminine singular about this word, yagya. Why on earth does it have a mapike? So the Das Mikra points out that the root is nun gimel hay. So the third root letter is the hay. Now, without the mapike in the hay, the word would be something like yagi, spelled yud gimel yud hay. But you wouldn't hear the hay at all. There wouldn't be a vowel on the hay, and there wouldn't be, and certainly wouldn't, and without the mapik, you actually wouldn't be aware audibly, you wouldn't be audibly aware of that hay. But the hay is part of the root, okay? And if the hay is part of the root, then you need to have an awareness of it. And therefore, to give the hay a stronger presence in the word, we put a mapik in the hay, so that you can actually hear the hay as well as see it, you can actually hear it. Yagia. You can actually hear the hay because the hay is part of the root. The root being nun gimel hay. By the way, because the root is nun gimel hay and the nun has gone, that's why there's a dogish in the gimel to replace the missing nun. Okay, we know the word noga. Noga means bright light.
Yeah.
So then that word noga, which you can actually hear the nun. The nun is there. But in this word, yagia, the nun has gone. And to replace the nun, there's a dogish in the gimel. But to give emphasis to the hay so that you can actually be aware of the hay, so you can hear the hay, therefore it's got a mapik hay. Okay? Now this point is very, very exciting for us because, and I learnt through this yesterday during lunchtime with Yishai Nossen, because it's in yesterday's Sedra as well. Yesterday's Sedra, in Parshas Vayera, chapter Yud Tes, Posuk Tes Zayin, you've got the word Vayisma Mo. With is a shalsheles on the words, with Lot delaying as he was packing up slowly to leave Sodom. Vayismamo, he delayed. Now, the Ibn Ezra on that word says that the root is mem hey hey, and both hays are emphasized. Why? Because they're part of the root. Says the Ibn Ezra, the first hay is emphasized because the shavah on that hay is a sounded shavah, a shavah nor. Says the Ibn Ezra, it should be read, Vayisma hermo. Okay? By giving a presence to the hay by pronouncing that shavah. Well, I didn't lane it like that yesterday. Yeah? I laned it with a silent shavah. Vayisma hermo. With the shavah under the first hay being a pronounced shavah. Likewise, because the root is mem hey hey, the last hay in the word has the mapik. Has the mapik hay. So that you can actually hear the hay. So because that hay is part of the root. Yeah. So that's why we would read that word vayisma hermo. It's actually quite hard to say. Vayisma hermo. Right, with that sudden finish as well. Right, because the root is mem hey hey, so you give an emphasis to the hey, so you can actually hear that hey. Right, there is also a very similar piece on this in Parashas Vayigash.
You want to hear both hays.
Yes, exactly. We need to hear both hays because both hays are a part of the root. The root being mem hey hey, according to the Ibn Ezra. Yeah, in Parashas Vayigash, in chapter Mem Zayin, Pasuk Yud Gimel, you've got it speaks about the situation in Mitzrayim after suffering for many years in the famine. In the times of Yosef. So the prophet there says, Vatela Eretz Mitzrayim. The land of Egypt was tired. Now, what is the root of the word Vatela? So it's either, most of them I've seen give it as Lamed Hey Hey, to be tired. I'm a bit puzzled by that. I always thought it was Lamed Aleph Hey, like in yesterday's Sedra, Vayilu Limtso HaPosach, the people of Sodom got too tired to find the door because they were all blind. They couldn't find the door to try and break into Lot's house, where she spelt Lamed Aleph with an Aleph in the word. I thought the root was Lamed Aleph Hey, related to the name Leah, Ve'ine Leah Rakos, because she was tired, she was crying because she thought she had to marry Esau. So the expression of fatigue. So the root is either Lamed Hey Hey or Lamed Aleph Hey. What's important for our purposes is that the last root letter is a Hey. Says the Rashbam on that word Vatela that it's got a Mapik Hey there. Why? To give a presence to the Hey. Because otherwise you wouldn't be aware of the Hey at all. Audibly you wouldn't hear the Hey. You wouldn't notice it. So therefore to make it noticeable, if we give it it takes a Mapik Hey. Vatela. Like that. Again with a Mapik Hey. All right? Good? Okay.
If someone doesn't emphasize the Muppet K when they lane, we don't make them go over it.
know, or unless, well, the Rav wants someone to go back in Parshas Kisetse, where I think it was on the word Yevamo, where it's got the word in the last Parsha, Yevamo, Yavo Aleha. Her Yavam should marry her. Yevamo, with a mapike, her Yavam. Right? And apparently, I wasn't there that Shabbos, and apparently it was Lane's Yevamo, with a long komatz at the end, without the mapik. Now, well, the word Yevamo actually means something else. It means the woman who is going to have Yibum.
Yeah.
And the Rav made the Belkir go back. Yeah, because it should be Yevamo. It's a completely different word. The mapik, Yevamo is her Yevam.
Refers to the man.
Yevamo refers to the man, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it will change the meaning of the word. Exactly. And maybe go over it.
It's a totally different meaning.
Word in order. Yeah. I wasn't there that Shabbos. I'm quite glad I wasn't there that Shabbos, because I probably wouldn't have made him go back.
For that, I should imagine.
Well, maybe it's important to know. It's actually a very important point.
When he's coming to it, I'm going to listen carefully.
Maybe. I think so. Here we have in our pasuk, we have two expressions of light. We have kiato to'ir neiri. You give light to my candle. So you've got an expression of to'ir, and you've also got the word yagia, which of course is related to you brighten the choshki, you brighten my darkness. And the word yagia is connected to the word noga, as I mentioned, noga, also with a mapake, okay? Noga, bright light. Yeah. Now the Malbim on this pasuk refers to his pirush in Yeshaya, chapter Nuntes, pasuk Tes, where there he defines the difference between light and noga, light. What's the difference between them? The Malbim throughout Tanakh explains the differences between very similar words, similar but different words. What's the difference between and noga? They're both light. Says the Malbim, is a light source. For example, a light bulb is a source of light. So that is or a candle. A candle. That is because that is a source of light. Mm. While the word noga, says the Malbim, is reflected light. Okay, so you've got a light source which might throw light onto A, and A then reflects light onto B. The reflected light is called noga. So A is not a light source in that example. A has received the light from the light source and reflected on towards B. So noga is reflected light.
Like sun and moon.
Sun and moon. Sun is a light source and the moon gives reflected light. Yeah, that's how it's here. Yeah.
What is ziv and noga then?
Ziv. Oh, ziv is another word. I don't know. Yeah, ziv also means bright and light.
It's in the Shabbos chakras, isn't it?
Ziv. Yeah. Milayim ziv. Milayim ziv.
Yeah.
Oh, mefikim noga. Ooh. Yeah, mefikim noga. Yeah.
About the stars.
That's right. When I started teaching my son, Yishan Nossen, started teaching him a bit of astronomy, because he's going to take astronomy GCSE. Well, I taught him a little bit at the beginning, but Kenneth Jason. Kenneth is teaching him. When I started teaching him astronomy, I started teaching Yishan Nossen astronomy. Yeah. First lesson, I said, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go through Kehr Lodon. Is that going through Kehr Lodon?
It's an aura, but because it says Ziv Hashchina.
Yeah, could be. Anyway, the Malbim refers to his pirush there in Yeshaya Nuntes, chapter Nuntes, pasuk Tes. Is a light source. Noga is reflected light. Says the Malbim on our pasuk, therefore it works very well with our pasuk. Ha'tata ineri. Is the light source. That goes on the word ner, neri, which is a light source, candle. While Hashem nekaya gea choshki. Choshki, if it's dark, then there's no light source. And the only light that's going to get there is reflected light. So it goes together with the yagia, which is reflected light. Good. Okay. Now, the Vilna Gaon's son, Reb Avrom, wrote a pirush on Tehillim called Be'er Avraham, which I have on computer, thanks to David Dombrowski, gave me a copy of it. And he explains there that Ta'ir Neiri is a reference to giving me light in teaching me Torah. Meir Einai, he's brightened my eyes through the world of Torah. And on Yagia Choshki, the son of the Vilna Gaon explains Yagia Choshki is almost a contradiction. Choshki is darkness, Yagia is to brighten. So you've got a contradiction there. Also, you've got a bit of a contradiction with Hashem Elokai, because Hashem Yudkei Vavkei is Midas Harachmim, and Elokai is Midas Adin. Elokim is Midas Adin. Says the Be'er Avram that this second half of the pasuk, Hashem Elokai Yagia Choshki, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving me Yisurim, giving me punishments and pains in order to be mezakech my guf, in order to purify myself. And we had it recently in the Omid Yomi all about Yisum Shalavo. Yeah, it's that kind of thing. He doesn't use the words Yisum Shalavo, but that seems to be what it is. Hashem Elokai, Hashem Midas Harachmim, Elokai Midas Adin. Yagia, he gives bright. Choshki to my darkness. So he says, giving me Yisurim is Elokai, that's when it's Adin, and it's Choshki, it's darkness. He's giving me, gives me terrible physical pains, but it's all for the sake and for the end purpose of purifying myself, to put me on a higher madrigal. Therefore, it's Hashem, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, it's when it's Rachmim, and it's also Yagia, he brightens me, because ultimately I'll gain from these Yisurim. Yeah?
Vav-Kei ameliorates the Elokai.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because it's a midas harachamim, Hashem is giving me yisurim, but it's for a good purpose. The yisurim are there to purify myself. Yagia choshki.
In the midas adin, there's a midas harachamim.
Is exactly right. Absolutely. Yisurim, I suffer with these terrible pains, physical pains, but they're there, they're given to me in order to purify myself, to bring me onto Ahim Adrego. It's a form of Yisurim. I think he refers to Yisurim Shalavo, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person, gives a tzaddik Yisurim, in order to bring them to Ahim Adrego. Okay. Another sefer which I came across on the computer, and I don't even know how to pronounce the name of the sefer. It's spelled Memtes Ayin, which could be Mata or Matea, I don't know. What is it?
Not Mate.
Mate would be with a hay at the end. It could be, I don't know. But anyway, and the second name is Leshem. And I got it from David Dombrowski. I'll have to ask him. It's in the Sefer on Tehillim, which is a Likut, a compilation of other Sfarim. So in the Sefer, he says something which is very odd, and I don't really understand it. He says that the letters He, Resh, Yud are closely connected to light. How does that work? He says, have a look in our pasuk. Hey, Reish Yud. Ator, Ta'ir Neri. The Sof Tevis, the last letters, Ator, Ta'ir Neri. Hey, Reish Yud. You give light to my candle. Hey, Reish Yud. Okay? He then quotes another pasuk, and this is the pasuk in Tehillim, and it's in Tehillim chapter Kuf Lamed Tes, pasuk Yud Aleph, where the pasuk says, Va'omar, if I thought to myself, Ach choshech yishufeni, darkness will hide me, I'll be able to get away with Averis because I won't be seen. Velaila erba adeni, the night itself will become light for me. In other words, I'll be shown up before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He'll show me up. So he says, that word, that phrase, Velaila erba adeni, again, the last letters, He, Resh, Yud. It's all to do with light. I can't. And that was the message in this passage is I can't hide from Hashem. In case I thought I could hide in darkness, no, I can't. Because even nighttime will lighten me up and will illuminate me, and I'll be seen before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Velaila Erbadeni Hei Resh Yud. He says these letters Hei Resh Yud closely connected to light. And then he quotes another passage which is in Koheles. A pasuk in Kehelis, it's chapter Zion, pasuk Yud Aleph, where the pasuk says, Tovo chachmo im nachalo. If a person has chachmo, then it's good if he also has nachalo, if he has an inheritance, which is a reference either to he's got means to support himself, financial means to support himself, and thereby he can carry on learning. V'yosele roe, or he can refer to good midas. He inherits good midas from Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Terachach ma im nachala, v'yoser leroei hashamesh, and is a boon. I'm taking the Alskol translation here, and is a boon for those who see the sun. What does it mean, those who see the sun? All mankind, because everybody sees the sun. Yeah, v'yoser leroei hashamesh. Anyone in the world who can see the sun, i.e., anyone, will have benefit. If together with his chachma, he also has financial means or good midas to accompany his chachma. So he points out in this phrase, Tevach chachma im nachalo v'yosele roei hashamesh, that the Sof Tevis, nachalo v'yoser leroei. The last letters, hey, resh, and yud. Nachalo, hey, v'yoser, reish, leroe, with the yud, and it's to do with the sun. So it's all to do with light again. So he points out, and I'm not quite sure what he's trying to say with this, but he says those three letters, hey, reish, yud, when they come at the end of the word, and he's given three pesukim, are all where you've got a string of words in sequence, all finishing hey, then reish, then yud, and they're all connected somehow to light. Strange.
The words itself must be a connection to light.
Maybe he says those three letters, hey, reshud, connected to light. Okay, good. Okay, and another sefer, Kiflayim Lusushio, which you'll be interested, Johnny, is written by Rabbi Yitzchok Eliyahu ben Rabbi Shmuel Landau. So you've got to research your family history. Okay. So in this sefer, he says, "Ki atota ineri is Hashem gives light to my candle." That is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps me, says David, through an intermediary. And the moshel in the pasuk is through a candle. He lights my candle, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping me, but he's doing it through a candle. In other words, he helps me, but somehow through some kind of intermediary. While the second half of the pasuk is Hashem Elokai Yageach Choshki. He himself, Hashem Elokai, he's the one who brightens my darkness. It's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps me directly without the use of any intermediary. Okay, in the Sefer Tehillos Hashem, he points out in now possibly
our
toto
in name.
Intermediary
could be your job.
Could be anything. Anything in life that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps a person via some kind of intermediary. In the Sefer Tehillos Hashem quotes the pasuk in Mishle. It's in Mishle and it's chapter Yud Gimel pasuk Tes, where the pasuk there says, tzadikim yismach." The light of tzaddikim will rejoice. In other words, Hashem or Hashem will bring gladness and good and simcha to the light of tzaddikim, and the opposite, v'ner rishoyim yidoch, and he will extinguish the candle of rishoyim. In other words, Hashem will beat down the rishoyim. That's the idea. So he points out that in the Sefer Tehillos Hashem, he says, we've got an apostle, ki atoto in neiri. The word neiri, nun reish yud. Nun reish yud, he says, is Rosh HaTevis, is the initial letters of ner rishoyim yidoch. He will extinguish the light of rishoyim. Okay? It's not an absolute Rosh HaTevis, because the apostle actually doesn't say ner rishoyim yedoch, it actually says v'ner rishoyim yedoch. There's a vav there, but it's close, and of course the vav is simply a prefix there. Okay, now in the sefer, this is beautiful, the sefer Gemish HaSor got on the computer,
like you get rid of the spirituality of the rishoyim.
Yeah, how will he brighten my light? Yeah, how will Hashem how will he bring light to me, to my candle? Neiri ner rishoyim yedoch, by extinguishing the light of rishoyim. Yeah. Oh, now there's a Yerushalmi. Where's Yerushalmi gone? Here it is. Yeah, the Yerushalmi is in Makkos. And it's in Yerushalmi and Makkos, it's Perek Vov, Halacha Vov, and in most editions of the Yerushalmi, it's printed on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. And it brings there a very famous piece of, famous Maim Chazal. Sha'alu l'chachma, the Chachomim asked, the Talmid Chachomim asked Chachma. They asked the concept of wisdom, Chote Mahu Onsho, what's the punishment for a Chote? Omru Lahem, the response of Chochma is from a posuk in Mishle, chapter Yud Gimel, posuk Kaf Aleph, Chata'im Teradef Ra'ah. If there are sinners, evil should chase them. In other words, the response of Chochma, a posuk in Mishle written by Shlomo Melech, the world's greatest Chacham, is there are sinners, they should suffer for their sins. Teradef Ra'ah, evil should chase them. That's the response of the world of Chochma to the person who sins. Sha'alu l'nevuah. So the Chochma said, okay, let's ask Nevuah. Let's ask Nevi'im, what's the response to someone who sins? Chote mahu onsho, what's the punishment for a chote, a sinner? Omra lehen. So Nevuah responds with a posuk in Yecheskel, chapter Yud Ches, posuk Dalet, HaNefesh HaChotes, the one who sins, he somus, should die. No Rachmonus here. No Rachmonus from Chochma Evil should chase a sinner. No rachmanis from nevuah. A person who sins, hanefesh achotes, he sumas, deserves to die. Sha'alu l'kutsha b'richu. So the chachamim then asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the chote mahu ensho? What's the punishment for a sinner? Amar lehen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu replied, Ya'asu teshuva v'yiskapelo. A sinner should do teshuva, and then he'll be atoned, he'll get teshuva. Exactly, that's exactly the point. Chachma says, you've sinned, you deserve to be punished. Nevuah says, you sinned, you deserve to be punished. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you sinned, do teshuva and you'll be all right. Yeah? So that's the, this is a famous Gemara in Yerushalmi in Makkos. Along comes the Chidor in his Sefer Nachal, and I think it's pronounced Nachal Shurok, but I'm not sure exactly how to read that second name. Nachal Shurok says the Chidor, in our posuk, we have one word which is seemingly superfluous. Ki ato to ineri. Now that word ato, really, we don't technically need that word ato. To means you. But the word to'ir subsumes the word you. Because the word to'ir means you will illuminate. Right? So it's a bit of repetition. Ki ato to ineri. Because you will illuminate my candle. We don't need the word atah. Why do you have the word atah? Says the Chidor, it's because this extra word atah says it's you, Hashem, and it's only you. To exclude both Chochmah and Nevuah, as recorded in that Yerushalmi. Yeah? It's only you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the extra word atah gives an added emphasis to the fact that it's you, Hashem. You can illuminate my candle. You give light to my candle. Chochmah won't. Nevuah won't. Only you can. Yeah? That's how the Chidol learns the pasuk. To exclude Chochmah and to exclude Nevuah. They don't have the right solution to Chait. Yeah. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has got the right solution to Chait. It's only you can illuminate my candle. It's only you can help, who can solve my problems when I've done an Aveira. How? By doing Teshuvah. The Sephorno on our Pasuk says, Hashem Elokai, Yagia Choshki, Hashem Elokai is a reference to the fact that Hashem listens to Tefillah, and Choshki, Yagia Choshki, he'll brighten my darkness in Milchama, in war. Which of course goes very well with that Medrash Shechetot about Hashem illuminating the night when David had to fight against the Amalek. Okay, the Alshich. This is a fantastic piece of Alshich. The Alshich says, there are two ways of solving a problem of darkness. If a person's in a dark room, two solutions. Solution number one is bring in a candle and illuminate the room. Yeah. Solution number two is do nothing and wait till daybreak. Mm. Or wait for daybreak. Mm. So in the first one, you're actually doing something active. You're bringing in a light source. You're bringing in a candle to illuminate the room. So you're actually doing something active. Mm. Second one, you're being totally passive about it. Okay? Says the Alshich, that's Pshat in our Pasuk. David says, Ki atotai neiri, sometimes you help me out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I have to do something. Bring in a light source. You bring light to a candle. I've conquered my enemies by doing something. Yeah. And sometimes, Hashem Elokai Yageh Choshki, you illuminate my darkness, and I do, rather than diving in to fight, I run away, which is greater passivity. I'm running away. So two ways of conquering my enemies, or two ways of dealing with my enemies, might be a better way of saying it. First way is that I rush in and I go and fight, and that's ki atoto ineri. And the second way is that I can actually run away from the problem, run away from my enemies. And having run away, I didn't say this before. And having run away from my enemies, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu defeats my enemies for me, and I actually do very little or nothing. Okay, says the Alshich, that's reflected in our pasuk. Ki atoto ineri is you illuminate my candle. I actually need to light a candle. Well, to light a candle means I go in and I fight. And Hashem Elokai Yageh Choshki, Hashem, he brightens my darkness, which I actually don't do anything. I just run away. And then the Alshich says that theme is continued in the next pasuk. How? Ki v'cha arutz gedud. With you, or through your help, arutz gedud, I run into battle with the gedud. Gedud means a battalion of soldiers. Uvelokai, and with my God, and with the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adalek Shur, I can jump over a wall. Okay? Says the Al Sheikh, this is a reference to two different incidents in the life of David.
Yeah.
When was Oretz Gedud? When did he run into battle? Is when he was prepared to run in to fight against Goliath. Mm. Shmuel Aleph chapter Yud Zayin. Mm. He went into the fray. Here it is. It's in Shmuel Aleph chapter Yud Zayin, yeah. And it's Pasuk Mem Ches. Vayemahe David. David hurried up. Vayorot Hamaarocha Likras Taplishti. And he ran through the ranks of the soldiers who were there. Maarocha means soldiers standing in the serried ranks. Likras Taplishti to go up to confront the Plishti, to confront Goliath. So that is Kiatoto Ineri. That's you lit my candle. I had to light a candle, and that's reflected in Pasuk Lamed here. Kivacha Arutz Gedud. I ran in through the Maarocha, through the soldiers, who are the Gedud.
Probably
the Philistine soldiers. Yeah, yeah. Probably them. Yeah, Gedud. Uvelo Kaya Dalek Shur is a reference to another incident in the life of David, and that is when David ran away, and that's in Shmuel Aleph, and it's chapter Yud Tes, Pasuk Yud Beis. And this is a reference to when Michal, the daughter of Shaul, wife of David, allowed David to escape. Shaul was after David, and Michal, Shaul's daughter, and David's wife, knew that her father Shaul was after David. So what did she do? She lowered David through a window, and he went off and he ran away and he managed to escape. So that's a reference to Ovelokai Adalek Shur. And with God's help, Adalek Shur, I was able to jump over a wall because he jumped out the window and escaped. Yeah? That's how the Al Sheikh learns Pshat in this. Okay, and we're nearly done. Oh, let's just make a comparison with the parallel Pesukim in Shmuel Beis. So it's in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, Pasuk Kaf Tes. You've got a bookmark there for it. Shmuel Beis, here. You want to show me, Johnny?
Yeah, sure.
Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, Pasuk Kaf Tes. Ki ata neiri Hashem. You are my candle, Hashem. Vashem yagia choshki, and God will brighten my darkness. There's certain differences here. First of all, in our pasuk, we've got kiato to'ir neiri, you illuminate my candle. While in Shmuel Beis, it's given as kiato neiri, you are my candle itself. Okay, you've got the extra name there in Shmuel Beis of Hashem. Have you got it there? It's pasuk 29. Yeah. Vashem yagi, and also you've got Vashem yagia choshki. In Shmuel Beis, it's got Vashem yagia choshki. God will brighten my darkness. While now, pasuk got Hashem Elokai yagia choshki. There's a few slight differences there. So the art scroll quotes from a sefer called Ohel Moed, which says that one of the differences there is the word Neiri is spelled differently. In Shmuel Beis, it's got an extra yud after the nun. Yeah? And he points out from the sefer called Ohel Moed that because in the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, it's Hashem himself is my candle, not Hashem lights my candle, but Hashem is my candle. Ki ata neiri Hashem, you are my candle. Therefore, that ner is Hashem himself. And therefore, to give extra cover to that word, neiri, it's spelled with the extra yud. It's given the extra boost of a yud, because who is the candle? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Maybe because the yud is the first letter of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, so therefore it's spelled with the extra yud, to show that Hashem himself is the candle. In Tehillim, it's Hashem lights the candle. In Shmuel, it's Hashem is the candle. Okay, that's brought in a sefer called Ohel Moed. Okay. The Abarbanel, in his Pirush on Shmuel Beis, has this whole thing that the Pesukim in Tehillim are an enhancement of the Pesukim in Shmuel Beis. And he points out, in what way is it? I'm not quite sure, but he seems to say that Hashem illuminating the candle is somehow better than Hashem being the candle, and I didn't understand that. But somehow or another, the Rabbanah holds that the version of Tehillim, Hashem lighting the candle, is considered better than Hashem actually being the candle. And likewise, he points out that...
Because he lights the candle, he's actually doing something active.
Okay.
If you just stand there, you're passive.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. It's hard to. I don't quite understand
that myself, because to me, the other pshat that Hashem is the candle is surely better than Hashem merely lighting the candle. So that's that seems to be a bit of a machlokus there, how to learn that. But the Rabbanan also points out that what we've got in Shmuel Beis, Kiaton Neri Hashem, we've got the use of Yud Kei Vov Kei in the first half of the pasuk, and again Vashem, again Yud Kei Vov Kei Yagia Choshki. Hashem illuminates my darkness. So you've got Yud Kei Vov Kei in the first half and in the second half. So says the Abraham Benel, the style of Hebrew is improved in Tehillim. Because rather than merely repeating the Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vov Kei, we actually introduce a new name for Hashem, Hashem Elokai Yagia Choshki. It's like Lahavdil in English writing style, if you keep using the same adjective, it's not very good writing style. So he says, so in Tehillim, the Rabbanan holds that Tehillim is an improvement, the version of Tehillim is an improvement on the version in Shmuel Beis. Shmuel Beis has got Yud Kei Vov Kei mentioned twice in the Pasuk, and just to vary it, in Tehillim it's Yud Kei Vov Kei followed by Elokai, Hashem Elokai Yagia Choshki. That's how he. That's how the Abravanel learns. And the Abravanel also points out that we have one other very slight difference. In Shmuel Beis, it's got Vahashem Yagia Choshki with a Vav, while in Tehillim, there's no Vav there. It's just Hashem Elokai Yagia Choshki without a Vav. The Alchemy Amloes in Shmuel Beis points out that this word Neri is the only time in Tanakh where you get the extra Yud. Okay? And that's explained by the Sefer Oel Moed, where it says
after the Resh.
No, the Yud after the Nun. Sorry, I didn't make that clear. It's the Nun after. It's the Yud after the Nun. Yeah. Normally, the word Ner would be just Nun Resh without an extra Yud. I didn't check it out in the Concordance, but the Yalkut Moed says it's the only time in Tanakh, where you get the extra Yud after the Nun, and that goes well with the Sefer Oel Moed. He says because now that the Hashem Himself is the Ner, we give it extra kavod by spelling it with the extra Yud. We've now finished Pasuk Kaftes.